these lips of clay to those who wait. In the great unseen gospel hour, congregation. I can't see them, Father, but I know they're there. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, maybe, I do not know. Thou dost see each and every individual, regardless of where they are, regardless of who they are, regardless of what they need. So I beseech thee, O God, honor thy word and save. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in Romans 7, I'm going to read the entire chapter. Will you please turn to Romans 7? I very seldom ever do a thing like this, but this is the Word of God, and I read a few verses daily, but I very seldom ever read a whole chapter, an entire chapter, on the broadcast. I try to read verses here and there, but I'm going to read this chapter. Then we're going to read some other verses. Now, listen. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that a man, or a woman rather, the woman, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. I was trying to get into the second verse before I arrived. Now here's the second verse. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth, but if he, the husband, be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised us from the dead. Now notice that, even to him who raised us from the dead, and of course that's Jesus, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which are by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, may I have your attention before I read the remaining verses of the chapter, which verses I want to deal with primarily. Now, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says that in Jesus we are free from the bondage of the law. That is, we are not under law, but under grace. We are walking in the newness of life. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we are raised from the deadness of sin. Now, beginning with verse 7, I want us to read on. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. Now follow these words. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. The law is holy, the commandment is holy, and good, just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now hear this. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. What I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent under the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now follow me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. Hear this, beloved. The good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, note. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body or from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now then, verse 1 in chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I've read an entire chapter and one verse. In other words, I've read 26 verses of Scripture. And as I said, I very seldom ever do that on the radio. Now, this man cries out, when I want to do good, I do evil. The things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Now, what's the trouble? Beloved, man sinned in the Garden of Eden. And by nature, man became a child of wrath or a child of the devil. This body is sinful and will be until we die and until Jesus gives us a new body. There's only one way to conquer sin, and that's to let Jesus come into your heart and let him sit on the throne of your heart. Now, here's what I want to show you today. In 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, get this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This body is of this world, made out of dust. And this flesh is by nature sinful. Now, please, beloved, don't mark me down a heretic, please. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Flesh can produce no better than flesh. And one sinner produces another sinner. God takes care of the innocent. If they die while they are still innocent, little children certainly don't go to hell, in spite of what some religions teach. No innocent child has ever gone to hell or ever will go. But we're born in sin, we're shapen in iniquity, and we are by nature the children of the devil, even as others. Now note, all that is in the world, get it, the lust of the flesh. Every ounce of your flesh craves sin and the devil. Now, wait a minute, beloved. I didn't say that you precious people craved liquor, wine, beer, gambling, murder, adultery. I didn't say that. And those things are not necessarily the sin that damns you. I can tell you the sin that is sending you to hell. It's the same sin that robbed Adam and Eve, Cain, and all the rest down the line. Now, what happened to Adam? God said, Adam, here's the garden. Eat freely of all the trees except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. All right. Adam deliberately ate when his wife invited him. Now, what happened? Adam was not willing to be subject to God. Adam figured he had as much, he named all the animals. He said, I guess I got as much sense as God has. Now, that's not in the Bible, but it stands to reason. Adam said, God said not to eat it, but why shouldn't I? Now, Satan says, my eyes will be open, I'll have wisdom, and I'll be like a God. We'll be as God. So, Adam reasoned. He had a mind. Adam was not a moron, God bless your dear heart. He had a mind. He named all the animals, and God called them what Adam named them. Now, Adam was not willing to be subject to God. You know why you're not saved? Look at me right now. You can't see me, but look at the loudspeaker. Look where my voice is. coming from. Listen, you know why you're not saved? You know why? Some of you are not saved because you're afraid you'll have to give up some little old silly, frivolous habit. Some of the rest of you are not saved because you say, I can't live it, I can't live it, I can't live it. All right, what are you doing? The first crowd is accusing Jesus Christ of being a robber. See, you got to give up something. Got to give up something. For instance, suppose you dearly love buttermilk. Now, anybody that has any common sense knows it's not a sin to drink buttermilk. Of course, you can commit suicide drinking buttermilk. You can drink enough to kill you. But I'm not talking about that. Suppose you dearly love buttermilk. And somebody said, well, now, you'll have to quit drinking buttermilk to be saved. Now, that's silly, but I'm using an illustration. And you say, well, I just can't give up my buttermilk, see? Well, now, I could go down the line. Some of you drink beer, wine, liquor, and you use this and use that, and you practice this and practice that, and you say, if I get saved, I'll have to give it up. Now, what are you doing? You're saying that I'd like to serve God, and I suppose God's good, and I suppose God's right, and I suppose it's right to serve God. But I can't serve God, because if I serve God, I'll have to give up this, that, or the other, don't you see? Now, then, some of the rest of you say, I'd like to be saved, but I can't live it. I just can't live it. God is such a terrible taskmaster and dictator, and God holds a stick over your head, and I just can't live what God demands. Now, that's what you're saying. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Don't cut the radio off. Leave it on. I won't talk to you. I won't talk to you. You know why that old body, that old flesh, that old mind, and those old members of yours rebel against God? The flesh rebels against the spirit. God bless you. And you know down deep in your heart what you ought to do, but the old body, the old flesh says, can't do it, can't do it, too much to give up, can't live it, see? Now wait. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the pride of life, see? In other words, if I get saved, some of my friends will say I'm narrow. If I don't dance, if I don't play poker, if I don't go here, if I don't drink cocktails, if I don't do this and if I don't do that, they'll say I'm narrow. They'll say I'm a goody-goody. And you see, pride, 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 pride. And in reality, here's what you're saying. God shouldn't require that anyway. Let me tell you something. I have news for you. I have news for you, beloved. You can't find one place in the Bible where the Bible says, if you're saved, you cannot play poker. You can't find that in the Bible. You can't find one place in the Bible where it says, if thou art saved, thou canst not drink beer. You can't find that in the Bible. You can't find one place in the Bible where it says, if thou art saved, thou shalt not dance. You can't find that. But I tell you what you can find. I tell you what you can find. You can find this, having never seen, yet you love, and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a brand new creation. All things pass away, and A-double-L, all things become new. Now, God is not a robber. You see, when God saves you, God gives you something so much better than the world that you don't want the things of the world. Well, now, you say, Mr. Green, if the folks who practice some of the things you've just named are not saved, they're not many folks saved. You're exactly right. You are exactly right. The road to heaven is not overcrowded, my friend. The road to heaven is not overcrowded. No, they're not having to add lanes to the road that leads to heaven. The superhighways to hell are being enlarged, but the straight and the narrow way that leads to life is not overcrowded. You can rest assured that heaven will not be overpopulated. The masses are going down, not up. The reason the flesh, the eyes, the mind, and the pride of life craves the line of least resistance. The members of this old body craves the things that damn and the things that send folks to hell. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. The spirit says, you should serve God. The flesh says, too much to give up. The spirit says, you should go to church. The flesh says, you don't feel like going to church. The spirit says, you should read the Bible. The flesh says, read the funny papers. That'll do you more good. It'll relax your mind. And the Bible's too deep, you can't understand it anyhow. So read something you'll understand. Read the funnies. And so you are. The Spirit says, love God. The flesh says, love the world. The Spirit says, serve God. The flesh says, serve the world. The Spirit says, prepare to meet God. The flesh says, you have plenty of time to prepare to meet God. Now, here's what I'm saying. All that is in the world, all, everything, is set, it is allied together, and it is determined to damn your soul. But I have bad news for you. I have bad news for you. Turn to Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to read three verses, then my time for preaching will be gone. Mark 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. Mark 7, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You have in your bosom a heart that is capable of manufacturing and producing in your life any despicable, deplorable, gutter sin that has ever been committed. And you have a heart that is capable of manufacturing lust and ungodliness and debauchery that has never been practiced by mankind. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. That's what Jeremiah says. That's what the Bible says. Now, Mark says, from within, out of the heart, evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now listen, you say, if I had been born into another family, my family are all sinners, and my grandparents were sinners, and if I had been born in a preacher's home, then I could live for God. If I lived in a Christian community, then I could serve God. If I worked in a Christian atmosphere, then I could be saved. Wait a minute. You have enough inside of your own heart if you just let go. In other words, all you need to do is to let a preacher's child, just let a preacher's child run its course, and it'll run its life right straight into hell. I don't care how many Christians are in your family, you have in your bosom an unregenerate heart. Now, I said sinners produce sinners. Flesh produces flesh. And I don't care, God bless you, if your daddy's a preacher and your mother's a missionary and your grandparents were missionaries and your great-grandparents came over on the Mayflower. So far as that's concerned, I know that's impossible, but if your grandparents came over on the Mayflower and all of your relatives are godly people, you still have in your bosom an unregenerate heart. And that heart is capable of manufacturing and producing and practicing any sin that has ever been committed. So you live in a body that's determined to damn you. Well, Brother Green, what can I do? Come to Jesus and cry out to Jesus, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake. Now, in 1 John 4:4, ye have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God's bigger than the devil. Jesus is bigger than the devil. Holy Spirit is bigger than the devil. And when you're born again, the divine nature of God takes up his abode in your heart, and you can overcome and will overcome, but not by your effort, but by the Holy Spirit. God help you, friend. God help you. You are totally depraved. You're helpless. You're hopeless. You're hell-bound. But if you'll put your faith in Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Accept him, believe him, receive him right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, save the soul that's nearest hell today. Save every soul that's calling upon you. For Jesus' sake, amen.